This is the calm before the storm, before the surge. And when it comes, and it will come, never will so many ask so much of so few. We'll do all that we can to support them.
COVID-19 officially arrived on our shores on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020. As the case count began to rise, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced on the 12th of March the beginning of the restrictions in this country. While weeks have passed, we have adapted to a new normality, adhering to strict new guidelines in an effort to suppress the virus. But the effects of these new restrictions have not been the same on everyone. This 10-part series looks at the effect that COVID-19 has had on people with disabilities in our community and on their carers. These are their stories. Dr. Declan Matthews is a GP based in Youghal. He has seen firsthand the stress that COVID-19 has put on carers.
I had a woman came in to me recently. She had a cough. She had some symptoms. She needed to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And her answer to me, when I suggested this, her answer was, who's going to look after my patients? But this woman was adamant. She didn't want to. I had to actually put my foot down in this situation and say, I'm sorry, you can't go in to look after them because there's a chance that you'll pass this on to them. She still wanted to do it, but she didn't in the end, obviously. But she was very reluctant because she felt that these were her patients. She needed to look after them. And she also felt, as most carers do, that nobody could do the job as well as she was going to do it.
Many carers are putting their own health at risk to make sure that they are there for those they are caring for.
I think they absolutely are, yeah. I think they are. I think they're reluctant to sort of, they're reluctant to come to us with symptoms because they're afraid they'll have to go off work. And if they go off work, I'm not saying now they're ignoring. They know well the dangers of COVID. So they're not running the danger of bringing COVID into one of their patients. They just, they don't want to be missing from work.
There is a concern about the effects that cocooning and isolation will have on people with disabilities.
It's going to cause a lot of stress. It's going to cause a loss of sleep. It's going to cause a feeling of worthlessness and could, in the long run, lead to depression. The main signs of depression that we would see or that we see in people are tiredness, an overall tiredness. They just feel tired and knackered all the time. They usually will have some sleep disturbance, and the sleep disturbance can be of two types. They can sort of have trouble falling asleep because they're just thinking and thinking and thinking. It's hard to fall asleep. Or the other one, and it's quite more common in depression, is the early morning wakening. That's where you wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you can't get back to sleep. And you're just tired and you're knackered, and then you eventually get up in the morning and you think, oh, that's it. I'll be tired tonight because I didn't sleep last night. But the exact same process happens again tonight. And you just can't get to sleep. You can't do. You're just not sleeping. You just get this sort of really severe tiredness going on all the time. Other things that happen are you sort of start to lose interest in things. And you lose interest in everything. You lose interest in meeting people. You lose interest in going out. You sort of lose enjoyment in life. You lose your enthusiasm for life. And I think that's another sign. Other signs that can happen often is your concentration can become quite bad. And how you notice that is you might have something to read and you start to read it and you're sort of less than halfway through it and you suddenly decide, I haven't taken in a bit of this. I have to read it again. And that's your concentration going. Your memory tends to get a bit disturbed. And often when memory gets disturbed, people think, oh, I'm getting Alzheimer's. But it can equally sometimes be just a symptom of depression as well. And the sort of things that happen with memory are, where did I leave the car keys? I've forgotten the car keys. Did I switch the immersion off? Oh, I better go check it again. They're the sort of things. And the reason this happens sometimes is when we're depressed, our brain doesn't sort of function as well as normal. And when it doesn't function as well as normal, it doesn't file things back where they're supposed to be. And if it doesn't file them back where they're supposed to be, you can't recall them. So your memory tends to get quite upset in these situations. think an awful lot of people are depressed without realising it. Frequently, presentations to us GPs would be that a wife might come in and sort of say, I think he's depressed at home. And she might describe some of the symptoms I've already described. Often the person themselves don't realise it. They often think, oh, I'm just in bad humour. And sometimes we can be in bad humour. Bad humour only lasts a day or two. But this is going on for weeks and often into months. And that's when you need to do something about it. And that's when you need to either seek help or go talk to somebody.
Many have questioned whether or not people with disabilities and their carers are getting the supports that they need.
That's a difficult question. The answer would obviously be no, they probably aren't. As I say, I'm not so sure that they were getting them before this COVID crisis ever happened. And I know the HSE have been really, really good at how they've dealt with the COVID crisis. But I'm not so sure that any extra funds were put in for people with disability or for carers. I think carers sort of for a good while felt that they were abandoned by the whole process. The fact that PPE wasn't available for them, and in fact we had one patient we had who we strongly suspected had COVID, and we had to give some PPE from our surgery to the carer in that situation, and she gladly went into the situation. Not ideal really, you know, because they feel that they've been sort of abandoned, they feel that they're working on their own a little bit and that there isn't a lot of help and guideline for them. I don't know what it would be like to be looking after an autistic kid, a child at home. It would be absolutely horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous in normal times. How do you deal with it in this time? How do you tell a child, no, you can't run out. No, you can't touch this. No, you can't hug this child. It must be extremely difficult. And as I say, I really wouldn't wish it on anybody. They have their own support networks, which I think is probably the best. Do you know what I mean? A lot of these mothers would know each other. There is a support group in town for children, for parents of children with autism. And I think that they need to reach out to each other because I don't think there's anything set up formally as such for them in that situation.
Because the vast majority of people have heeded the advice of the experts, we've been able to interrupt the spread of the virus. We've been able to shelter the most vulnerable and protect them.
I find that it must be very, very difficult for people who are coordinating home helps and that sort of those sort of services at the moment, because with home helps who are out sick, who might be self-isolating for 2 weeks, you're reduced in the amount of number of home helps you can have. Then you're reduced in the amount of houses you can send them into, because each time they go into a different house, it can cause you're increasing the risk of passing COVID around with the more people moving around. So I don't envy their job at the moment. Also, some home helps have been allocated to nursing homes and to hospitals where there are problems with staffing levels. So I don't envy their job. I don't envy any of their jobs at the moment. But as I say, the home helps as a group have been brilliant. I think obviously nobody in a way was supplied with enough PPE from the beginning, including hospitals. As time has gone on, the availability of it seems to be improving. But this is a worldwide crisis, so there isn't enough PPE in the world, or there isn't enough being produced all the time. But I think as the number of cases drops in hospitals and hopefully in nursing homes, the availability of PPE will become more available, and certainly people who are going into situations where they could either transmit the COVID to some of their patients, they need to be getting PPE. And I do feel the social distancing is the most important part of it. If the virus can't find somebody to make sick and to kill, then it will go away. And that seems to be what's happening. If we suddenly get careless with the social distancing, it will revive again. It hasn't gone away. It's not gone. It's going, but it's not gone.
A recent survey revealed that almost one third of people postponed visiting their GP during the COVID-19 pandemic.
We've had 2 months where we have been seeing far less people in the surgeries than we would have before that. We have had 2 months less diagnosing cancer. We've diagnosed some, but not the normal amount we would. And as I said before, cancer doesn't go away. It's still out there. We need to be mindful of this. And I think if people have symptoms, people are losing weight, people are losing blood from somewhere, these are the sort of symptoms people need to be looking out for. And if they need, they should present to their doctors. Their GPs are still open. The GPs are still seeing people. And I think while I'm on this topic, I'd also sort of like to mention the fact that people who are diabetic, they still need their bloods checked twice a year. People who are on certain drugs like methotrexate for arthritis or other drugs that they use for Crohn's disease or psoriasis, people who are on these sort of what we might call disease-modifying drugs, they still need their bloods checked. They should be ringing their surgeries and say, am I due a check? Should I come for it? We don't want these illnesses to, we don't want these treatments to cause worse problems. All GP surgeries are still working. We're not seeing as many people in the surgery, but we still are seeing some people. I think this is important. Pregnant women still need to be checked. Babies' vaccines still need to be done. If you have a problem, ring the surgery. You may not get to talk to the GP immediately, but he'll ring you back at some stage that day. And an awful lot of what we're doing at the moment, we're doing over the phone. And we're able to manage, I would say, 90% of our workload by phone with the cooperation of the pharmacists. And I have to say the pharmacies have been absolutely brilliant in this. We can phone in prescriptions, we can send down prescriptions, and all the pharmacies and all their staff, Yall Pharmacy, Murphy's, Marimina, Lloyd's, Clockgate and Killer, they've all been absolutely brilliant in this situation.
Once COVID-19 has been suppressed in this country, we will all be faced with a new normality.
Oh, I hope to God life doesn't go back to like it was 6 months ago in lots and lots of ways, for lots and lots of reasons. I especially think for the disabled, I think it would be dreadful if we went back to sort of the way things were, where nothing was available, mothers had to fight tooth and nail just to try and get what their child was entitled to. One of the things I think that has come out of this COVID, and I just hope to God it lasts, is it's funny, when decisions had to be made and there were tough decisions about financing this and financing that, they were made. I just hope to God that the HSE and the government don't lose sight of that. When tough decisions to do with financing had to be done, they were able to do it. And look what's happened. Point is that the health service has just coped extremely well with the worst crisis this country has ever faced. And it shows you that when people put their minds to it, when they decide what needs to be done, the government, the HSC and everybody else were able to manage.
Many people with disabilities are wondering when it will be safe to come out of isolation.
I think that's going to be a medical decision. It's very hard if you have somebody with a chronic chest problem or who's recovering from cancer. It's very hard for them because they know if they catch COVID, they are going to be in dire straits. So those people are actually particularly good at cocooning and staying in. And I have a feeling that even when the restrictions are lifted, a lot of those will cocoon for a bit longer, to tell you nothing but the truth. The main words of reassurance I can give them is this will be over. This will be over in another while. We're almost through it. We're doing very, very well. I think we need to continue doing as good as we're doing. It's been particularly difficult for people in the more vulnerable groups because they know in their heart and soul that they are in danger if they catch COVID. So it's been particularly tough for them, but there is an end in sight.
This is a Community Radio Yall production made with the support of CCAD under Goal 1 of the CCAP 2020 programme.